Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Review. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York with a very special 90-minute episode of our Raw Report, because there's been a lot of breaking news. But for the next 90 minutes, we will be discussing primarily last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. And Raw last night, folks, despite its many flaws, and there were quite a few, was a Raw I actually enjoyed. And I'll get to the reasons why in just a little while, but first let's start with some news, and let's start with some news from TNA Impact, whatever they're calling themselves these days. They held their big Bound for Glory show, and for the most part, it was a very good show. For the most part, the matches were solid. There were some hokey things involving Rosemary, and we won't get into that. But the main thing that everyone is talking about is the final match, the feature match between Austin Aries and Johnny Impact for the title. And not the fact that Johnny Impact beat Austin Aries, but what happened afterwards. After Johnny Impact had hit his finisher, the three count had been laid down, Austin Aries pretty much no-sold the finish. And by that, I mean he just popped right back up like he wasn't hurt at all. He climbed up on the turnbuckle and started pointing at someone who we assume was Don Callis. If you're a lip reader, you can see him saying, "Are you happy now?" or something to those effect. And basically flipping people off and walking back to the dressing room, and the internet was abuzz with, is this a work? Is this some kind of a work involving Austin Aries being unsatisfied with Impact and you know, realism mixed in with the pro wrestling shtick? And for a while, that's what it seemed. But then something interesting happened. And one of the people behind the scenes in Impact released a statement basically saying this isn't a work, that he had been basically producing the match. He had informed Austin Aries that he was losing. He said Aries had no problem with it, or so it appeared. He had no problem with it. And he lost, much like he was asked to. And then he just no-sold the move, making it look like obviously he wasn't hurt in any way, shape, or form. Popped up, yelled at everybody, flipped everybody off and left, and apparently wrote him saying, when that match ended, so did my contract, and don't expect me at the TV tapings. Now, could this still potentially be a work? I suppose anything is possible in wrestling. But given the fact that Austin Aries has had a history of this and has never been the most popular guy in the locker room, there is probably more chance this is real. So let me take it in both ways. If this is a work, it's a really good one, but I don't know where it's going. Because if you told him to no-sell somebody's move, you basically told him to expose the business dead center in the middle of the ring and say that finishing maneuver really doesn't hurt. I laid down for Johnny Mundo. That didn't hurt. This is all a work, and I don't know where you go from there. So this is why I don't think it's a work. I'm not sure where the payoff would be. Would the payoff be that Austin Aries shows up and says, I want another predetermined wrestling match? Because that doesn't seem to make any sense. Your payoff would be that he was mad for being booked in a certain way, but he still sold the finish. Once he no-sells the finish, once he undermines Johnny Mundo's finisher and basically says, eh, for the benefit of people who maybe don't watch Impact or anything, it would be the equivalent of him getting up after, I don't know, Seth Rollins does the curb stomp, 1, 2, 3, and then he pops right back up after the 1, 2, 3 and says, eh, whatever, climbs up on the turnbuckle and gives people the finger and says, to hell with you all, and walks away. I'm not hurt. Who cares? Now, if this is not a work, this is a shoot, Austin Aries should be finished in this business. I don't care how talented he is. I don't care how sought after he is. I don't care how good he thinks he is. If this is not a work, he has just undermined Johnny Impact as Impact's champion. He has just basically said he's not really a champion. He was handed a belt. He won nothing. There's no, it was no whatever. It was just me laying there. And that hurts. Even though the fans know that's really what it is, that still hurts. It almost undermines Johnny Mundo's credibility as champion, and that is something you just cannot do. And I don't know anyone in this business, if this is the truth and this is not a work, I don't know anyone in this business who would respect Austin Aries enough to lay down for him anymore. I mean, that's just something you can't do. You can go back to the dressing room and scream and holler and quit. You can go on Twitter and saying, I'm not being treated the way I should be treated and I never should have lost that match. You can do all of that. Is immediately pop up from a finisher like Hulk Hogan, except it's not a work, and say, oh, F this match. I did what I'm supposed to do. I'm going home. I don't have to sell this anymore. He didn't beat me. His finishing maneuver doesn't hurt. It's all just a work. You guys are idiots. Goodbye. Good night. That you do not do. Not if you want to stay in this business, which I would imagine Austin Aries does not. Now, can he go to Japan? Will they forgive him? Of course they will. But the bottom line is this. While greedy promoters may, in fact, hire him, exploit his name and his popularity, there's going to be an awful lot of workers in this business who says, if he would no-sell for Johnny Impact, Johnny Mundo, John Morrison, a guy who's been in the WWE, Lucha Underground, Impact, Japan, everywhere, if he would totally no-sell him and make him look like a chump in winning the belt, what would he do to my guys? Or what would he do to us? So, given the possibility that it's still a minute chance that it's a work, I would like anyone to tell me what they think the payoff is. Because again, if you're exposing this and saying everything we did in this ring was fake, and I'm mad because I didn't win, or I'm mad because I don't think I'm being treated fairly, where's the payoff match? Another fake match? That doesn't work. So I'm not sure where you'd get any payoff on this, Mike. I don't know if you saw it, but it's all over the internet.
I didn't see the whole thing, so I didn't see it. But, hey, you're right. Where is the payoff for this? And the fact of the matter is, what is Aries? What, 38, 35, 38, 36,
yeah, somewhere,
30, whatever?
Yeah.
You know, it's not – I mean, he probably doesn't have much – left in the tank. I mean, he could go another 4 or 5 years, but they'd put him in his mid-40s. Who's going to want to hire a mid-40s guy, you know, after he's done this?
Now that he's done this, Mike, I don't know. I mean, like I said, he has a name. So would promoters potentially hire him? Probably. But how would you feel if you were a wrestler? How'd you feel if you're a wrestler and you're told you got to tap out to Austin Aries, you got to totally sell his move? He didn't bother to sell Johnny Impact's. He may not bother to sell yours if he doesn't agree with the booking. He may just make your finisher look stupid. He may, you know, make you look like a total fake. But don't do that to him. It's not going to work. So if this is what I think it is, and it's a shoot, Todd, I think he's pretty much finished in pro wrestling.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's when I saw clips of from Bound for Glory, and when Austin Aries, I guess he flipped the bird to Don Callis. He's like, I'm done with this. You're happy now. I was never a big fan of Austin Aries from the begin with. I guess he, like you said, he just don't care about the business at all.
Well, it wouldn't seem that way. I mean, it seems to me that, you know, if you remember right, he almost pulled this with the WWE when he had to lose that second time to Neville, and he sat outside the ring with his back against the ring apron laughing. And you just knew it was probably going through his mind to no sell whatever and get up and leave too. And he did, technically. That's what he did to the WWE. You talk about burning bridges behind you. Everywhere you go, you walk out in anger because you're not the top guy. And apparently, in his response to this guy, Aries had basically said, this is the thanks I get for making Impact what it is, for the resurgence of Impact. Austin Aries is not solely responsible for the resurgence of Impact. I wouldn't even say he's majorly responsible. He's a part of it. But the difference in booking, the difference in using and utilizing your talent is what made the difference in Impact, not any one talent. The different philosophy and wrestling booking that they went with greatly helped Impact. And, of course, the talent did too, but not just Austin Aries. And to say that, again, you say something like that and it undermines everybody else. How do you expect that guy to walk into a locker room filled with guys who say, oh, so let me get this straight. We're only here as peons because you're the one who brought this whole thing back. You don't have to sell any of our moves if you don't feel like it, but we got to sell yours. That's not going to fly. I'm telling you that's not going to fly. What is going to happen is he's going to get his teeth knocked out. He's got a big target on his head that says, just punch the freak out of me for not respecting the business or other people in the business. So Aries better think long and hard. He seems like a guy with a very, very hair-triggered temper and probably someone who takes himself far too seriously in this business. So with that out of the way, let's move on to this Saudi Arabia thing because it's in the news again. When this first broke, Saudi Arabia denied any knowledge of this incident whatsoever, vehemently denied it, even to our president of the United States during a phone call, said we have no knowledge of this whatsoever. We don't know what happened to him. We're searching just as much as you are. We're looking into it just as much as you are, but we vehemently deny having done anything with him at all. We have no knowledge of this. Perhaps it was rogue Saudis who somehow got him before or just as he entered the building. We don't know. We don't seem to have any videotape of it. But under no circumstances does the regime itself know anything about the disappearance of this man. Cross our heart and hope to die. Now comes a report that they're changing their tune since other evidence has been found. And now they are saying it's very possible that he died as a result of an interrogation gone wrong. So I want you all to stop and think about this for a minute. In the United States of America, if you're being interrogated, they ask you, where were you on this night? Do you have any witnesses that you were there on this night? Why did you say this? Why did you do that? What were you wearing? You don't die during that sort of interrogation. And if you did at a fright or a heart attack, the first thing they would do is call an ambulance and a coroner or whatever. And they would say, look, this guy dropped dead of a heart attack while we were interrogating him. I don't know. Must have been nervous or scared or I don't know. But he had a major heart attack and died. You don't accidentally die during an interrogation unless you're being beaten and tortured. And they're basically, that's what they're saying. Oh, well, you know, I mean, we were interrogating him and he died. We didn't want him to die. But he did. Well, died of what? That's what I want to know. Died of what? Now, this is bad. It's not going to get much worse than this. Because now the Saudis have proven themselves to be liars because they first said they had absolutely no knowledge. Now they're saying accidental interrogation. An accidental interrogation that takes place when a man is walking into your consulate in Turkey to simply file divorce papers so he can get married to another woman? What are you interrogating them about? And who did the interrogation? There's nobody at the consulate that's going to grab you and interrogate you. So this stinks. And you will notice that last night the WWE mentioned Crown Jewel many times. They did not mention Saudi Arabia. That's because it's been suggested by some they may move it. They're in England shortly after that, and apparently the same building is open that night. But now we get word that that may not even happen. And are you ready for this? It's no secret to anybody who listens to this show that when I had to be pressed to ask who's my all-time favorite wrestler of all time, who do I think is actually the very best ever to lace up a pair of boots, I said Shawn Michaels. And I still think that's true. But I'm so done with Shawn Michaels as a human being that I don't care if I ever see his stupid face again. Because apparently, Shawn Michaels, A, doesn't care that he's so Christian, he doesn't care that Christians are persecuted in Saudi Arabia. It's against the law to be Christian there? That's okay, I don't care. How much money are they going to give me? Because now the news report comes that Shawn Michaels has basically said, if it doesn't happen in Saudi Arabia and that kind of money isn't on the table, I'm not making a comeback. Cancel my match. Either pay me this much money or cancel my match. You know how much money had to be on that table? WWE can't pay it. Not and hope to make any money. Maybe at WrestleMania they could, but not at just a normal show. So if they hold this in England or they hold it at Survivor Series or they whatever, count Shawn Michaels out because Shawn Michaels has stated, hey, you know, unless that money's there, I'm not really interested. So that's what it's all about. Now, look, I don't begrudge anybody from making money, but here's what I will tell you. If I was coerced into coming out of retirement to do a match for a large, large, large amount of money, number one, I wouldn't do it in a country that totally disagreed with my beliefs or morals or whatever, but let's say I did. Let's say I justified it and said, well, my family will be much better off if I do this, so I'm just going to do it. And I hyped it up for 2 or 3 weeks on television. I'm going to do this. And the fans, you know, it's for the fans. And then I found out, well, that fell through. We can't go there. Because of a great reason like this. They have violated human rights issues to the point the United States wants to cut ties. Then I guess if I loved wrestling and I loved the fans who put all that money in my pocket for all those years, I would say, well, under these circumstances, we've already promised the fans. So I guess I'll take less. I mean, you know, let's work out what we can work out. But if it has to be held somewhere else, count me in. I mean, what are we going to do? It's not like you're trying to screw me. It's not like you're doing something against me. Circumstances happened. Fans have already been promised a match. We'll work something out. But I'll still do it. You can count me in. I'm a team player. Oh, no, not Shawn Michaels. Not the devout Christian. Response is, the money's not there. Scratch me off the list. Brock Lesnar, same way. But at least Brock Lesnar doesn't pretend to love the business or the fans. So So I'm very disappointed to hear this news, Mike, because in my opinion, you know, that makes Shawn Michaels a guy who is not at all what he purports himself to be.
Right. And that's the case now. I mean, look, let's just leave Shawn Michaels off here for the moment. We know what he appears to be now, and that's probably what he was always has been. But let's leave that be. If he doesn't show up, then that probably gives Kane an out here, you know, to go back and do his job.
Probably, and that's another person I'm disappointed in. Not as disappointed, because I think Kane would still do it. But my problem is, with Kane, is I can understand you saying I'm going to be going for one night for WrestleMania. There's a big thing, and they want me to do it. In fact, your constituents, the citizens of Knoxville, would probably be like, that's cool, our mayor's going to be in WrestleMania. It's pretty cool. I don't think they think it's cool you're traveling all around the goddamn world while the Knoxville sits around with his finger in its ass waiting for their mayor. And they know why it is. Oh, I was offered this much money. That's much more money than I'll ever make as a mayor. So, you know, you guys come second. Ridiculous. I'm highly disappointed in that, too. I'm just disappointed in the whole thing. The entire thing is just a huge disappointment. Now, to be fair, there are claims now that a good many of the WWE wrestlers do not want to go to Saudi Arabia. Apparently, Shawn Michaels isn't one of them because he thinks he's collecting a payday. So apparently, it really doesn't matter to Shawn Michaels if you had to pick it up off the dead body of the guy who got killed. Throw it in the guy's pocket and Shawn can come along and pick it. But the rest of them, a good amount of them anyway, apparently are opposed. But of course, they don't really have a major choice, because they will suffer a huge backlash if they say they're not going. The WWE is not the type of company that says, if you do have any real problems with this, just raise your hand and we'll let you out of it. That's not going to happen. Not happening. And from what I hear up to this moment, still go to Saudi Arabia and do this. Now, I told everybody who listens to the show, news is going to happen fast in this incident with this journalist who was apparently murdered, because the American government's got involved in it now, and they're going to be relentless. Now, already the Saudis have shown their true colors, because they've said, okay, well, if you oppose any sanctions on us whatsoever for this accidental murder or killing of a man during an interrogation where he was just sitting in a chair, you know, having a Coke, answering some questions, and he died, then we will raise oil to $200 a barrel, which would shoot our gas prices up here about double. So while there's diplomacy trying to happen for the good of the larger amount of American citizens, there are people who want to turn this into a cash grab. And I'm sorry to say that some of them work for the WWE. And I'm sorry to say that I'm quickly, rapidly losing my respect for a ton of people that I had a ton of respect for before. Now, what should the WWE do, you ask? Well, this is a complicated situation. And I don't expect the WWE to say, F you, Saudi Arabia, because of what you did, we don't want nothing to do with you. Go ahead and try to sue us. We don't care. We're red, white, and blue, blah, blah, blah. We'll take the law. I don't expect any of that. What I do expect them to do is to contact the Saudi government and say, based upon this controversy, we can't come there right now. We are not cutting ties. We are not saying we'll never come back. We are not saying that we're voiding our contract. We're saying that this particular event is canceled. And you know why. because there's just too much controversy right now, and it's not a time when we should be down there cavorting in a professional wrestling ring. Simple as that. The visual is not good. It's not good for our company. It's not good for our brand. And it's not good that you are holding this event and with a big hoopla while you're under all kinds of investigations. So we'll postpone this to a date to be determined. And our contract is still here. We'll work something out. We'll see how things go. That's all I'm asking. It's done all the time. Now, the saddest guy on the planet will be Shawn Michaels, who will take his ball and go home again, apparently. He don't care that you were dying to see him in a wrestling ring again. He doesn't care. I know that the object of a professional in any profession is to make as much money as you can. And I don't begrudge him asking for a lot of money to come out of retirement. I don't begrudge him that at all. What I do begrudge him is when circumstances beyond anyone else's control cause something like this to happen, and you've already promised your fans who have supported you for I don't know how long and put countless dollars in your pocket, because make no mistake about it, wrestlers are under the delusion, I get paid by the promoter. You get paid by the fans. Because if the promoter don't have any money in his pocket, he's not giving it to you. So every time the fans come out to see you, every time they buy your T-shirt, every time they buy a poster, you paid for, and you're paid by the fans. I don't care who signs your check. That's irrelevant. It's where the money comes from. And if you don't care enough about the fans to say, in this one instance, where everyone was looking forward to seeing me come out of retirement and do this match, and this international incident happened, it's not that somebody got a head cold. This is an international incident. And in these very unusual circumstances, if you guys decide not to go, I'm cool with doing it somewhere else, and I'll just take less money. That's all. I'm not happy about it, but what are you going to do? We can't cancel a match that we promised the fans, not after so many years of them supporting me. And so making me a millionaire many times over. I get so sick of watching wrestlers get in the ring and say, I love all of you people. Every single one of you people are why I do this. Bullshit. Maybe originally. Maybe when you first started out in the business, but then it just became a money grab, right? And this is proof. This is proof. Because any rational human being would not hold them hostage and say, oh, well, I know it's hard to go to Saudi Arabia after what happened, but if you don't, and I'm not getting that kind of cha-ching in my pocket, you can just write me off your list, buddy. I don't care what you tell the fans. I don't care if the fans see me. You put the coin in my pocket or I'll just go home, put my feet up on the sofa. Does that sound like somebody that cares about you? So I don't know, Mike. It's disheartening, to say the least.
It is disheartening. And the fact of the matter is you know, they're probably going to do exactly what you said, and it's not going to happen in Saudi Arabia, and he is going to take his ball and go home with it. And it's sad. I mean, he is one of my favorite wrestlers. He's not my favorite wrestler, but he's one of them. So, I might have, if it was going to happen, decided to maybe watch this thing. Because, you know, how many more matches is he going to do? You know, how many more matches are any of these, well, other than Triple H, because he runs the company and he can decide as an ego boost to come out of retirement anytime he wants. So, but how many more matches is Kane going to do? How many more matches is The Undertaker going to do? How many more matches is Shawn Michaels going to do? You know?
Right. I was kind of like you, you know? I was at the point where I said, I am determined not to watch this, and I won't. But then when this whole thing happened, I'm saying to myself, well, if they go, I almost feel like I'm obligated to watch it to see if anything happens, anything of any consequence, not professional wrestling wise, but actually, you know, a political consequence. Are they going to go down there and still say what a wonderful place it is? What's the crowd going to be? Is there going to be any kind of reaction from any of the wrestlers? What's going to happen? But given this new information, we have a real problem, folks. I know this is not a political show, but we got a real problem in the Middle East. Because even our allies are snakes in the grass. And unfortunately, we have to lay in bed with some of these people in order to accomplish greater things. Sometimes that happens in life. In real life, sometimes you have to reluctantly say, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and you have to go the lesser evil to combat the greater. I'm fully aware of that in politics. But a professional wrestling company does not have to go there and lend them credibility or be a propaganda wing for them. Simple as that. Anyway, let's get on to Raw, because this was a very, very interesting Monday Night Raw. Now, of course, it's still a show about six people and Ronda Rousey. And this show underlined it like no other. I mean, not only did four of the six have solo matches, but then they all came back at the end to team up for a six-man tag team match. So you got to see an overdose of those six people, underlining my point that this show really does revolve around those six people. But that didn't really stop from being entertaining. I mean, first we get the Dogs of War coming out, and basically Drew McIntyre says, you know, they basically say they destroyed the Shield. Dean Ambrose left in a huff last week. Shield has been destroyed from within. They told you that Dean Ambrose was being used and he's a loose cannon, and they proved it. Then they talked about their qualifying matches for their World Cup. Drew McIntyre saying that he has Seth Rollins and he's going to go on to win the World Cup, prove he's the greatest of all time. Dolph Ziggler taking a little exception to it, saying, I believe you're going to beat Seth Rollins, however, I'm also going to go on. I got a qualifying match, and we may fight each other. And Drew McIntyre saying, I hope not too, but, I mean, if we do, you're not Drew McIntyre. Interrupted by Braun Strowman saying, as good as both of you are, the main thing is that I'm going to walk out of there the champion. Which leads to the Shield's music hitting, except Dean Ambrose is nowhere to be found. So Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre make fun of that a little bit and say, where's your buddy? Seth Rollins says he sort of runs on Ambrose time. He'll be around. That's the way he goes. Nobody tells him what to do or when to show up. He'll be here. He always shows. However, they decide they're going to have their qualifying match right now, and Seth Rollins gets in the ring with Drew McIntyre, and Monday Night Raw's underway. Now, before we talk about the match, let's just talk about the opening a little bit, Mike. I didn't really have a problem with this opening. I know it's getting stale that it's the same six people all the time, but given everything that's going on, I thought this was a good enough opening.
I thought it was a good enough opening as well. And for what it was, comparing it to some of you know, diarrhea we've seen in the previous weeks, it's an A-plus opening, you know.
You know, yeah, it certainly didn't stink. Everybody seemed to be good on the mic. Everybody did what they had to do. And, Todd, I thought that we got to see – the only thing I don't like about it, I suppose, is that I'm still stuck on this. I don't like Braun Strowman with a team thing. But, if he's going to have one, they're not bad choices. And I thought they kind of fit the same mold. And I thought they all did a good job on the mic.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I don't like Braun Strowman doing this team thing either, but If it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. Either way, it's...
And this wasn't terrible. I mean, it was what it was. Now, the match itself was very good. Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre really pulled out some stops. They gave him a long time, which is nice. We obviously see Dolph Ziggler come down at some point and try to aggravate Seth Rollins into distraction. Causes Dean Ambrose to come out, make his big entrance, and it helps, eventually helps Seth Rollins to secure the victory. Which kind of tells the fans everything's been patched up. Dean was a little bit out of sorts last week, but everything's good. Now, Drew McIntyre suffering the loss in this particular way doesn't necessarily bother me much, Mike. You know, I think if you're going to suffer that kind of loss, McIntyre, which I might be his first pinfall loss. I don't remember one. But if you're going to suffer that kind of loss, this is kind of the way to do it, where you're trying to establish a couple of things. One, that if Dolph Ziggler never did come down there, perhaps Dean Ambrose wouldn't have had to, meaning that Dolph Ziggler inadvertently caused what happened to Drew McIntyre. And two, to solidify that Dean Ambrose is still on the same page with Seth Rollins and still is interested in making sure he gets a fair match. So a couple of reasons why I guess the loss wasn't catastrophic to Drew McIntyre.
Right, and three, if you watched it, they still had them showing kind of strife toward each other on the Dolph Ziggler team, you know, where yeah, he showed up late, but again, like you said, it's Ambrose time. He'll show up when he wants to show up. I mean, a few months back, he made a crack about him being inside a dumpster drunk, you know, that type of thing. So that fits with that Ambrose, the previous Ambrose. Now, it may not fit with this Ambrose character, the one they're trying to portray, but it fits with the one before that, you know. So that was good to see. And the whole thing, them carrying along the strife between, Ziggler and McIntyre and, of course, Strowman. And we saw that late. We would see that again later on in the six-man match. It's good to see as well, you know.
Yeah, I don't think this did McIntyre any harm. This was fine. We're going to take these a little bit out of order because I want to concentrate on the things that were great, and then we'll talk about some of the things that were subpar. Let's get to the one thing that shocked me the most, and that is I was dreadfully, dreadfully worried. Dreadfully worried when Ronda Rousey hit that ring by herself and grabbed a microphone. I literally held my breath, and I have to tell you that she started out the shits. As everybody knows, the Bellas betrayed me, broke my heart. And I'm saying to myself, oh, God, she's digging a grave with a power shovel. It's terrible. She's getting zero sympathy. Zero sympathy. Because there was no real relationship ever built up with her and the Bellas. They just showed up one day and said, we'll be your friend if you want. And then 3 weeks later, they turned on her. There's no deep relationship there. Then the Bellas came out. And truthfully, sometimes they're not very good on the mic. So I held my breath when she said, come out here, I just want to know why you did it. Because once again, that's a really stupid line. You're in a world of professional wrestling. I think you pretty much know why they did it. But lo and behold, to my surprise, the Bellas came out and basically cut Ronda Rousey a new one, saying exactly... they basically said the truth. They said, look, you come in here with a big name, thinking you're a big deal. You've done absolutely zero to kick down any doors for women's wrestling. You've put in absolutely no time or effort. You haven't done a damn thing to further the women's evolution or revolution. And here you get title shots, and here you get WrestleMania matches, and here you get the spotlight, and it's all about Ronda Rousey, Ronda Rousey, Ronda Rousey. And lo and behold, you're the champion, and you don't deserve it. You absolutely do not deserve it. Now, here's the beauty of this. Had this been said by anyone, and I mean anyone, except the Bellas, the fans would have cheered. Because everything the Bellas said was actually correct. 100% correct. But the Bellas are the biggest phonies in the business, too. And when Ronda Rousey retaliated by really calling them out and saying, well, if we're going to go there, then let me tell you that I never had any respect for you. Because what you represented was a time in women's wrestling when it was just divas running around looking good, and really made me want to throw up. Just exploitation of women, and boy, there you were. You're the poster girl for exploitation of women, so congratulations. And then it got even uglier. With her saying, the only thing I respect about you is how you guys got to a position like this with such minimal amount of talent. And then even further, when she says the only door Nikki Bella has ever knocked down was John Cena's bedroom door, and eventually he kicked you out of that too, didn't he? Now, she obviously didn't write any of those lines. But she obviously practiced the hell out of them. And this time, it absolutely 100% worked. Absolutely 100% worked, and this is the Ronda Rousey you absolutely need to have on the mic. Got to correct her in the ring. But if you can get this type of a promo from Ronda Rousey, this is the Ronda Rousey we're waiting for. This is the Ronda Rousey who says, look, I'm not going to suck up and say the Bellas are great pioneers of women's wrestling. I don't think you can fight. In fact, I know you can't fight. I've watched you. You can't fight. You come in here and do what you do, a minimal amount of talent. The reason you're ahead in the business is because of your looks or the guys you latched onto. And fans started chanting, yes, 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 because fans know that's the truth. And for one brief second, just one brief second, I said to myself, is it possible, even remotely possible, that all of these screw-ups that Nikki Bella did and all of these supposed screw-ups that Brie Bella did weren't screw-ups? They were told to do that to get fan heat, that they're not talented, so when Ronda says that, they can be like, yeah. And the answer is probably no, because the WWE's not that smart. But gee, you know, I mean, Liv Morgan did come back pretty quick, didn't she, from a concussion. We don't know for sure anything ever happened to her. We assume it. Looked like it did. But I won't be that cynical. I'm sure they did screw up for real. But that's how good this promo was, that it actually made me rethink everything. And I said to myself, is it even possible that they planned this that far ahead? Mike, this was easily the best promo in Ronda Rousey's career. Easily the best. And even though it still does not make Nikki Bella look like she's on the same level, and I hated her tossing around security guards because that just underlines the fact that Nikki Bella's not on her level, this was a promo that fans could really get behind.
Yes, it was. And the fact of the matter is a lot of that stuff she said, I mean, I can't believe that they'd let her go off script like that. That had to have been written for her.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, she's not Bray Wyatt that, you know, they'll hand him the mic and say, hit these bullet points, but say whatever you want to say. She's not that, all right? And she was absolutely correct. I mean, yeah, it would have been nice if this match would have been her versus Natty, because that would have been a match I would have been willing to see. But now I'm mildly interested in seeing this match. And the fact of the matter is, like you said, if they can get her corrected in the ring, I mean, look, we've talked about how better, you know, Shayna Baszler and who's the other girl that's with Absolution?
Sonya Deville.
Sonya Deville, and now we see that we hear that the other two of the four horsewomen are in the performance center. We haven't seen them yet, but they're in the performance center, so they're obviously coming. So if they're honing their skills behind the scenes in the performance center, and they're coming, and we know Deville, and we know what, and we know those girls, and Baszler are here, then. And if she improves this markedly on the mic, and can improve even close to this, somewhere close to this in the ring, then I'm happy with it. And there's a good shot that she signs another deal with the WWE.
Yeah, listen, could be. All I can tell you is this. This is the Ronda Rousey I expected when they introduced her last year. And it's about time that she got her wind about her and said, okay, I'm comfortable now. I can do this, because this has taken a really long time for her to get to this point. Way too long. Let's make no mistake about that. It's taken her way too long to get to this point. But last night, she proved she can do it. Now she really just has to apply herself and keep doing it. Likewise, the Bellas did a pretty good job. I don't think this is going to be a particularly good match, but this is a good promo for the match, I can tell you that. And I was very happy with the way Ronda Rousey utilized her mic skills, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, like with Ronda Rousey, like in the beginning, she was not good on the mic or anything. Still not good on the mic or anything. But to me, that was a pretty good promo, sort of a good promo too, a little better than all the other times she did a promo on the mic.
I thought it was a great promo. I was very impressed. Put it that way. I never thought she'd go to some of the places she'd go to. Now, look, the John Cena door thing got the biggest reaction, but what I liked more than all of it was for her to say, if you want me to be honest, I just thought you girls were kind of cool when you came up to me and said, you know, if there's anything you can help me, yeah, we can help you with, go ahead and ask. And she said, I thought you were just being... you were welcoming me, and I thought, wow, those girls are cool, because a lot of these girls probably won't welcome me because I'm from the MMA and not in their world, and I thought you were just cool. So I thought maybe I'm wrong about you guys. Maybe you know, but it didn't change my mind that you're not talented. You're not fighters. And I thought to myself, man, that's cutting it to the quick. That's cutting it to the quick. Now, it's putting a lot on the line. Because you are allowing Ronda Rousey, a non-wrestler by most standards, non-pro wrestler, to tell a girl who was champion, you can't fight. Because then that undermines, of course, everyone who lost to her and the belt itself. But Ronda Rousey was very careful to say, in that era, you could rule, because none of them could fight. It's a different era now. And you're just the leftovers trying to take credit for it. Really thought that was a hot line. Really did. Now we have Tamina Snuka come back. She's ended up on the wrong show. I'm not really sure how that happened. She walked in the wrong dressing room. Last time I saw her, she was SmackDown, right? But I guess not anymore. So anyway, Tamina Snuka and Dana Brooke team up against Ember Moon and Nia Jax, fusing match, because after Ember Moon and Nia Jax win, Tamina Snuka confronts Nia Jax, and for whatever reason, Ember Moon also tosses her out of the ring, just, I guess, to show, well, when the Battle Royal happens at Evolution, it's every woman for herself, but that just felt weird. And then Dana Brooke tosses the rest of them out, and that felt weirder. But while the match itself wasn't anything special or nothing to really get upset about, the announcement of the Battle Royal actually upset me. Because if this isn't, we have nothing to do with these girls. Remember when I told you that this was a cookie being thrown because of the Saudi Arabian thing to the girls? Well, here's your proof. If this was not a cookie, if this was not a last-minute decision, explain to me why you have no matches. It's, oh, well, we don't have anything for Bayley. We don't have anything for Asuka. We don't have anything for Carmella. We don't have anything for Nia. So we'll just throw them in a big battle royal because we just don't have anything. Why don't you have anything? Those are just some of your top women. That's all you can come up with? That announcement floored me, Mike, because I think it underlines my point that they were not going to do this women's pay-per-view, and they didn't really have any build-up for anything.
Right, and the fact of the matter is a couple things, you know. When Tamina, remember a few months back we were talking about how, and this was, I think this was before they split them up, split the company up or whatever, that it was supposed to be, there was supposed to be this big feud between Tamina and Nia Jax, and, well, they sort of kind of put it off because Tamina got hurt, and then I believe Jimmy Snuka died or whatever, something like that, and all that stuff. And the way that this match played out, when those two girls got next to each other and started throwing punches at each and throwing hands and doing everything else, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, are they actually going to put these two girls, is this going to be somewhat a teaser for a feud between these two girls? To, you know?
Yeah, me too. Me too, but no, instead what we're ending up with is a battle royal with all of the, I don't know, I mean, what's the situation? You can't think of anything to do with Bayley or Asuka or Carmella was your former champion. Asuka was a champion in NXT for how long? Nia Jax, former champion. I mean, this is ridiculous. Carmella, former champion, you can't think of nothing to do with him. Just throw him in a battle royal. This is the equivalent of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. We have no idea what to do with you, so you're just in a battle royal. You could say you're in the show. But you do have room for Trish Stratus and Lita. Stratus and Lita, they came to the ring. This time Lita took the mic, which was probably a really smart idea because last week Trish Stratus totally took a dump on it. And Lita was a little bit better. She wasn't brilliant, but she was a little bit better. And out came Alexa Bliss and Mickie James, who were considerably better. And once again, some logic prevailed. And it made me smile when Mickie James said, so let me get this straight. You're going to just take your feet off the sofa, your ass off the couch, walk back into professional wrestling without even so much as a warm-up match, without even any practice at all. And you're going to take on a girl who was a champion in both brands and myself who does this every night, and you think you're going to win. It's absurd. And I, as a fan, am sitting on my couch saying, that is absurd. She's absolutely right. That's stupid. These girls should be thinking, well, I don't know, man, you know. What would you think? If you were once a, you know, top of your profession in a sport, in a combat sport, and you've taken 8 years off, you're just going to walk right back in and say, I'm going to take the top people here. Here we go. I don't think so. So I really was happy, Mike, that she brought up that point because I thought that's the key point that fans are thinking.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking. And look, Mickey, I mean, I know they're not going to allow her to say, well, I've recently been champion, you know, someplace else. I know they weren't going to allow her to say that. And when was the last time you guys were champions? That type of stuff. But again, I like this was a good interview. And look, this is another point of, we talked about how this match could be crap because we thought it was going to be a singles match or possibly two singles matches, but because the two other girls that have been away for 8 years can't go, they put them in a tag team match, and now I'm sort of mildly interested in seeing this tag team match.
Yeah, we have some weird stuff, though, going on at Evolution. I mean, now we got a women's pay-per-view, but what else do we have? We have this Legends versus Alexa Bliss and Mickie James match. And we have the rematch with Shayna Baszler and Kairi Sane. And obviously Ronda Rousey and Nikki Bella. And the finals of the Mae Young Classic. And okay, but there's a lot of girls left off this card that probably deserve a little bigger spot in it. Speaking of, guess who makes a return? Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks comes out when Natty is going to fight Ruby Riott. Ruby Riott comes out with the Riott Squad. Natty says, look, I'm not walking out here to do 3-on-1. I found a friend. Here comes Bailey. And since there's still two of us and three of you, found another friend. Here comes Sasha, who looks about as happy to be there as, you know, I don't know who. But if body language could talk, Sasha Banks is about done with this. She went through the motions. Not enough. She's still not feeling well. I don't know if there's still issues. She got in the ring. But, man, there's something missing there. It was just, there was no charisma. There was no energy. It was just like, here I am. Okay, let me walk out. I'm not even going to do my normal, you know, strutting. It's just nothing. Just here I am. So, I mean, look, maybe she's unhappy with her position on the car. I don't know. I'd be unhappy. So let's get to some of the rest of the things that happened. Finn Balor takes on Jinder Mahal again. I don't know how many times this is going to happen. Bailey has to be out there with him. And Jinder, at least the Singh brothers are back together, which is good to see. Didn't help because Jinder lost in like a minute and a half. And Finn Balor and Jinder Mahal basically had just, you know, they're preliminary wrestlers at this point. There's no plans for either one of them, and both of them know it. Backstage, we get Baron Corbin, who runs into Kurt Angle and basically tells him that you got a match tonight, and it's a handicap match against the Authors of Pain. So we'll talk about some of these things. Todd, what did you think about the Finn Balor Jinder thing? I mean, Jinder's gotten to the point now where, you know, he's a preliminary wrestler. He's lasting a minute and a half with guys.
You're absolutely right there about Jinder Mahal. He's now lower than mid-card status now. First, he was mid-card. Then he went up the upper card, like main eventer. Now, back to mid-card. Now, lower mid-card. It's like, oh, you're just going to job. This is going to be a jobber for the rest of your WWE career.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. And Finn Balor is, you know, I don't see him rising to the top at this point. This is a guy who was the first ever Universal Champion, and now he's relegated to you will beat Jinder Mahal in a little undercard match that really no one in the world cares about. So that's a shame. Obviously, we get the big match between Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler. The kicker of the match is that Drew McIntyre is out there to interfere. So Seth Rollins comes down to make sure that doesn't happen, much like Ambrose did in his match. For some inexplicable reason, Dean Ambrose, when he's trying to be helped back into the ring by Seth Rollins, turns around and shoves Seth Rollins. Jumps back into the ring, eats a super kick for a 1-2-3 count, and then somehow is mad at Seth Rollins. While the announcers insist, I don't think he thought it was Seth Rollins. I think he might have thought it was Drew McIntyre. No, that's a very silly thing because he clearly saw Seth Rollins down there take out Drew McIntyre. So I don't know what they're doing with Dean Ambrose because the situation is one minute he's fine, one minute he's not, one minute he's fine, one minute he's not. They're overplaying this hand. They're overplaying it. And truthfully, I think fans now are getting sick of it because they know it. It's going to happen. And when you know it already, it doesn't have any real impact. But it was an okay match, Mike. Again, you know, Dolph Ziggler always puts on a good match. And Dean Ambrose is, you know, still strong as he always was as far as his in-ring skills. So it was a good enough match.
Yeah, it was a good enough match. And frankly, you know, that's fine with me. And you know, there are better things they could be doing with this. And I mean, recently we've said it. They tease these things to death, and then they decide to do it, and it doesn't have the impact it should have, you know. And that's what they're doing with this whole thing now. I mean, I still seem to think that they're also teasing a breakup of the Ziggler team, but they haven't teased that thing to death yet. So we'll have to see. And as far as you mentioned, Finn Balor being the one thing that comes out of this thing with Finn Balor is there's some sort of a chemistry between him and Bayley. You know, now
there really is, but where's it going to go? I mean, you know, they don't have mixed tag team matches all the time, and you know, I just don't see anything coming out of this that's going to be tangible. That's fine if they do occasionally want a team. There is chemistry there, but chemistry for what? There's no mixed tag team titles. There's nothing to be had for Finn Balor by teaming with Bayley. As a matter of fact, it's almost diminishing him. It really is. It's almost diminishing him. Now we get the Elias segment, which was hilarious again. Apollo Crews, for whatever reason, comes out, and because he has no reason to come out, brilliantly says, I don't know, everybody else interrupts you, I figure it's my time. And it looks like Apollo might be getting a push toward at least having a feud with Elias. I don't think it's a feud he's going to win. But it's something. And if this is what it takes to get Elias a feud he can win and further him up the ladder, I'm okay with that. Likewise, I'm okay with Bobby Lashley coming out and fighting Tyler Breeze. As a matter of fact, I'm very okay with it because two very good things happened. Number one, you've established Bobby Lashley as a guy who does not need to talk and a guy who can tear through people like Tyler Breeze, who's someone who the crowd is fond of. That's a very good positive thing. Number two is Leo Rush is legitimately annoying on the mic. Legitimately annoying. Number three is that even Corey Graves, who's basically a heel announcer, says that is the most annoying man on the planet. He is legitimately, you know, needs to be wiped out. That's great because that's a bad guy announcer selling that this guy's even too whatever for me. Leo Rush has helped Bobby Lashley immeasurably because now I'm actually interested in this character and what they're going to do with it. Before, I couldn't have been less interested in Bobby Lashley. Could not have been less interested. And this proves my point beyond a shadow of a doubt that the WWE so badly mismanages. When a guy can come down there and rev up the crowd when you can't, when a guy can come down there and be annoying and when you can't, it makes all the difference in the world. And it's even better sometimes when they're a small guy like that who you say, this guy would not kick the shit out of anybody. I can't wait to see him get creamed. I mean, that was the case for Jimmy Hart. It was a case way back with the Grand Wizard. It was a case with Slick. There were a lot of people like that who you said, well, these guys ain't, you know, they're not tough guys. Get a hold of them, you'll be able to rip them apart. Now, Leo Rush is a great wrestler, so that's going to help when he has to take a bump or whatever. But the bottom line is that's the mold that they're putting Leo Rush in. He's doing a fantastic job. He's taken Bobby Lashley from about a 1 on my interest scale to about a 7, because I could see Bobby Lashley now actually fighting higher ranked competition and me being interested in watching it. So what's your thoughts on the Leo Rush, Bobby Lashley teaming now, Mike?
I like it, you know. And look, Bobby, Leo Rush is kind of, you know, we've said this about, you're saying it about Leo Rush, but you've also said this about Rockstar Spud or Drake Maverick, you know. And they've got him doing basically almost, he's less annoying than Leo Rush is, but it's basically almost the same character that they got him doing. Now, he's more of a tough guy character, but again, like you said, if now they could have did something with you said they need managers, we miss managers. Well, they could have did something with when they were having what's her name Lana doing some managing. They could have done something with that, and they didn't do it.
No, the WWE has been really anti-manager for a while, and it's good to see they're sort of coming back with it because it does make a difference. And the WWE realizes it makes a difference in guys who aren't good on the mic. Bobby Lashley's not good on the mic, so they handed him Leo Rush, who is. The Authors of Pain are not good on the mic, so they handed him Drake Maverick, who is. So this means the WWE is at least acknowledging we need managers to help some of these, some of this talent that don't really have that ability to sell themselves. And that's very important. So I'm glad they've woken up to that. So that made me smile because I'm saying, hey, I'm interested in a guy I didn't think I'd be interested. So cool. So far, so good with that. We'll see where this goes. I don't know how far they'll take Lashley with this. They mentioned Kevin Owens, which I thought was a good thing. Now we're being told on the Kevin Owens situation that he could potentially be back in 3 months, which is not too terrible. So we'll see what happens with that. He's definitely going to come back. If Bobby Lashley is still tearing through things like this, Kevin Owens has to come back as a face. Absolutely has to. So we'll see how that goes. As far as the rest of Raw is concerned, I mean, look, there were some hit and miss things. They did a little bit of a tease with the glorious tag team there that Bobby Roode's getting a little bit sick of being upstaged. He can't even get the word glorious out of his mouth. So that's okay. I didn't understand, and I guess I never will, the Authors of Pain coming down there and squashing some guy in a conquistador outfit that wasn't Kurt Angle. Why would that guy, whoever the hell he is, ever agree to take on the Authors of Pain 2-on-1? Why? That doesn't make any sense. And Kurt Angle sneaks up behind Baron Corbin, who's gloating about it, and gives him the suplex on the ramp. That was kind of cool. We know their match is coming. They're obviously going to have a match, and it will probably be for the control of the general managership on Raw. So, I mean, we got a mixed bag. There were some matches that had no importance whatsoever, like the Finn Balor, Jinder Mahal match, and Tamina Snuka coming back to team with Dana Brooke, had no real importance to it. So, you know, there's a couple of things that really were like time wasters, but there were some very bright spots. Now, the main event, six-man tag, we've seen this. I mean, we've literally seen this for months. So no one's really excited about this. I knew something was going to happen, though. I knew they would not give you this again, and nothing happened. And though they teased as hard as they could that Dean Ambrose was going to turn, even at one point setting Seth Rollins up for his dirty deeds, at the end of the day, it was Braun Strowman who snapped after they lost the match. Dolph Ziggler got pinned and decimates Dolph Ziggler. Turns around and gets that big kick from McIntyre and really sells it. Good, you know, good for Braun Strowman. Good for Braun Strowman. Because this really elevates McIntyre's finisher. This is a finisher that Braun Strowman went down like a shot, got up and was still shaking his head. Even after he fully recovered, he still looked dazed. He still looked like, all right, what? I don't know why hit me. Something bad hit me. McIntyre obviously left Dolph Ziggler in the ring. I'm thinking we are beginning to see the turn of Drew McIntyre. I don't know where this will leave Ziggler. I don't know what the situation is. But I do know that I am interested in a Drew McIntyre Braun Strowman match. So now the WWE's done a few things that I didn't think they'd be able to do. I'm interested in a Braun Strowman match with Drew McIntyre. I am interested in Ronda Rousey and Nikki Bella for other reasons. I'm interested in Bobby Lashley as a performer now. Wasn't before. So some good things happened. And they should take note of one thing. There were actually people cheering Roman Reigns. There was chance of let's go Roman. In Philly. Yeah, he got booed a little bit initially, but there were a lot of chants. So that the We Hate Roman thing is kind of fading now. So, Todd, I think the main event was, you know, it was what it was. The reason it's the main event is they wanted to leave with that graphic of Braun Strowman standing in the ring holding his head and then Drew McIntyre glaring at him. It wasn't the best match of the night or anything, but I thought it was a solid ending to Raw.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's a solid ending to Raw. What Roman Reigns was getting, let's go Roman chants. I was surprised about that too. And last time they were in Philly, he got booed out of the building.
He really did. Last time, that's what I said. I said, man, you're in Philly. This is going to be a rough sell. And so they're winning. They're winning on that front, Mike. They're getting Roman Reigns over slowly.
They're winning on that front. And look, it didn't make sense to have that one guy versus the Authors of Pain, but if you look at what they did there, it was him and if you look at how they filmed the match, the way they filmed the match made him look bigger than I think he actually was, and in that uniform, in that conquistador uniform, doing all those gyrations and dances the way. And what was funny about it is after he gave him the suplex, as his music was playing him out, he didn't just do the whole "you suck" deal. He did that little dance number, looked like the Macarena or whatever it was that he did while he was under the mask. That was pretty cool. That was pretty good.
Yeah, and I was surprised, by the way, to see that No Way Jose still has a job. I didn't even know he was still employed. He came doing the conga line backstage with Kurt Angle. You know, so look, Raw did a good job of utilizing what they had. They still are a show about six people, the Shield and the Dogs of War. That's what they're all about. We saw four individual matches, or I should say four people participate in two individual matches. And we saw the feature match where they all participated. So that goes to show you that the WWE 100% feels Raw is about those six individuals. We saw a long segment with Ronda Rousey because she's basically the women's division to them. But they did a decent job of at least teasing some other things. Kurt Angle potentially taking on Baron Corbin is a fairly good tease. Elias and Apollo, at least you're utilizing Apollo. Even if I'm not super interested in the matchup, I'm glad to see you're utilizing him. He's getting a feud, and so is Elias. It's about time. Really, it's about time. Bobby Lashley being used exactly the right way, taking on a guy that the fans really like, but they know is totally overmatched booking-wise, and Bobby Lashley manhandling, while some little, you know, geek screams on the microphone, you should be cheering Lashley, 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 when nobody wants to. That's Pro Wrestling 101. That worked on all cylinders. Now, the Undertaker-Kane thing, you know, look, it is what it is. Sometimes it gets to the point where you say too much has been revealed to ever go back to this. And pretty much when Kane became the mayor of Knoxville, it's done. You can't do this demonic thing anymore. You just can't do it. It doesn't work. You can't suspend your disbelief enough. Whatever. But I was glad to see they didn't hog the whole show up. Now, tonight they might, because we got Evolution coming out, and probably Taker and Kane will be there on the 1,000th 1,000th episode of SmackDown. So they'll probably hog a lot of the show with this. Rey Mysterio is making his return. He's going to take on Shinsuke Nakamura in a match I definitely want to see. So I'm looking forward to that, but I can't give Raw its highest rating. Last week I gave Raw a pretty good rating. I can't give it a really high rating this week because I just don't think enough happened. But I can't give it a low rating either because I truly enjoyed it. The 3 hours did not lag. There were things I was genuinely interested in. I thought they did a lot of correcting on logic, which, man, they are so poor with. But they did a lot of correcting on that. Almost everything that happened, with the exception of the Kurt Angle thing, was logical. Ronda Rousey's retort to the Bella's logical reaction to Ronda, totally logical. Finally. So we get some logic-based wrestling. Obviously, the same thing with Bobby Lashley. It's logical to hook him up with a manager. It's logical that he's an annoying guy. Gets the crowd really revved up. They mentioned Kevin Owens on purpose. All that's logical. It just felt more like a well-thought-out show. For that reason, I'm going to give it a B-. I wish there had been matches that meant a little more. I wish you had something a little better for Finn Balor and Jinder Mahal than just that. I wish the girls weren't announced at being all in a battle royal instead of, you know, maybe you could find some individual matches for a lot of these girls who were former champions of yours. You know, the Bellas are getting or at least Nikki is getting a major spot. And Carmella, Bayley, Sasha, they're not. But all in all, still an entertaining show, Mike. What's your rating?
I'm going to go one grade lower and give you a C+. I just can't give anything higher than that because, again, like you said, yeah, it had some logic to it, but some of the stuff just kind of fell flat on me. And like you said, what do you have for Bayley who's healthy? What do you have for? Yeah, she wrestled kind of listlessly, going through the motions. But what do you? I mean, if all you're going to have for Natty is just to come out and talk on the mic and maybe have a match here and there, why is she there, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Look, the one thing that we take away last night from Raw, more than anything else for me, was that Evolution pay-per-view was a tossed-together cookie for the women because they knew they had to stay home and not go to Saudi Arabia. And the women were probably very upset about it and said, this is ridiculous. You keep going back to Saudi Arabia. We can't go. We feel like we're just second-class citizens. And so they said, no, we're going to give you your own pay-per-view, except we're not going to get anybody to book anything. What should we do for the big women's pay-per-view? Let's go get some old-timers because these girls aren't good enough to sell anything. Okay, let's go get Trish and Lita back. That'll help. We don't know who they're fighting. I think maybe Trish can fight her and Lita can fight her. Nah, they can't do that because they've been away too long. Let's just make it a tag team match. Oh, okay. Well, what else are we going to have? I don't know. Bring the girls from NXT up. We'll have that. We'll have the finals of the Mae Young Classic. Maybe we'll have a tag team tournament. Nah, we're not going to have the tag team tournament. We don't have anything to do with all those girls we thought were going to be in it. Just put them in a battle royal. That's good enough. Does it matter? That's kind of what the attitude was. They didn't put any effort into this pay-per-view. I'm sorry, they didn't. No effort. Take an afternoon to book a pay-per-view. But then you have to build it up. And aside from building up Nikki Bella and obviously Ronda Rousey, I don't really see anything built up. Okay, you built up a little with Trish Stratus and Lita, but come on. Those girls aren't your future. What's the big deal? It's not that big of a deal to see them back in that ring. I'm sorry, it's not. Aside from that, that's it. I mean, that's what you got. Nothing for Bayley, nothing for Carmella, nothing for Asuka, nothing for Naomi. Oh, okay, we're going to get Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. That's a biggie. That's it. That's your big one. And if they're not careful, they may eat that one, because if Becky Lynch, you know, jaw breaks instead of cracks. So I don't expect to see Becky Lynch in the ring tonight if they're smart. She can come out and do all the jaw jacking she wants. I don't think I want to see her in the ring. So we got a C plus and a B minus. Todd, what's your rating?
B minus.
Okay, so we got pretty good ratings for Raw for 2 weeks in a row. Raw has definitely been a little better. I think the WWE is coming to realize that they're going to have to come around a little bit here. And the one thing that I guess more than any that has helped is, Mike, is that at least they may not have the greatest matches in the world every Monday Night Raw, but the matches that matter, they're giving more time to. A lot of these matches have not been five-minute matches the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Right. Right. And we've said this about Triple H. I mean, we generally compare and contrasted NXT, which are 20-minute matches, 15, 20-minute matches, to 2 to 5 minute matches for Raw. And maybe a little bit more for SmackDown, but, you know, for Raw generally. And that's bad. Now, if this is going to be changing for Raw, you know, and they're going to do less matches but more time for the matches, I'm fine with that. You know, because I want to see, we know Sasha and Bayley and Natty and all these girls. Maybe not Tamina and Nia Jax, but the rest of those girls can go. So I want to see that more, and I want to see more from Leo Rush, who's genuinely annoying, and I don't mean annoying in a good way. I mean, what's his name? Enzo was annoying, but in a good way, you know?
Yeah, it's funny that you brought up Enzo, because I thought to myself, man, if Enzo was still in this federation, and you could have potentially had, and Big Cass was too, and you could have potentially had Big Cass against Bobby Lashley, and Enzo and Cass were still friends, the rhetoric you could have had between Leo Rush and Enzo would have been so entertaining, Mike, that it almost makes me wish I could turn back time and do it.
Yeah, it almost makes me wish that I could turn back time and do it. And look, that would be what Leo Rush is doing could be if Enzo had not burned the bridges he has burned, there could be a chance that he could come back to some other federation, but by saying what he said and backing it up, there's no chance that he's ever going to wrestle ever again, you know?
Yeah, I tell you, man, I was really surprised, because I thought Enzo was probably going to be one of those guys who said, yes, I was unfairly fired, or I felt I was unfairly fired, but you know what, I'll take it like a man, and you know, I hope one day I'll get back in the company, because they would have done it. He was an unpopular guy backstage, but if he learned – you know, we learned to control himself a little better. I do believe the WWE knew he could make money for them. They just ran into that buzzsaw where they had no choice but to let him go. And then he was so unpopular, people said, just, we don't want him back. But he did not help himself at all. Not at all. Mouthing off and making music videos about it and saying how wrestling's bullshit. And he didn't help himself at all. Not at all. It's a shame, because that's the very first thing I thought of when I saw Leo Rush is, man, if you had Enzo at ringside, Big Cass in the ring, Bobby Lashley, Enzo and Leo Rush going back and forth on the microphone, you probably would have something pretty unique. Anyway, it wasn't a bad episode of Raw. Tonight is the number 1,000th episode of SmackDown, and it should be really, really good. Looking forward to it, and we will be back Friday with the SmackDown Report. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.